Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am just so honored to have on the phone with us today Helen Strike. She is the president of, wait for it, United Hospital Hastings Regional Campus. And we could not be more excited for her to tell us about the new name change of our Hastings Hospital and all just some other housekeeping things that we want to get caught up on. Helen, first of all, really nice to chat with you. How have you been?
Hey, thanks, Mo, for having me back. Really good. I know it's been a lovely summer. Not good for the grass or crops, I think, but it has been good for us to be able to get out and about without too much rain, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's been so lovely. Yes, absolutely. And Helen, I know that this has been a busy time leading up to this name change, but can we go back, maybe probably even a year or so ago when this was in the works? The reason behind this name change is this integration is to really give better service to the folks in Hastings and the surrounding areas.
It sure is, Mo. You know, about 5 years ago in 2017, we did a similar thing between Mercy Hospital and what now is known as Mercy Hospital Unity Campus and formerly known as Unity Hospital. And we reunited those two campuses into one hospital under one license. And it really has strengthened our ability to care for patients in the North Metro. And so we want to try it now for the East Metro. And so we finalized the technical change of actually joining with a United Hospital to become United Hospital Hastings Regina Campus.
That technical change of name, really, it shouldn't be something that we will notice in Hastings. Is that correct?
Well, you won't notice the change of license too much. You'll notice the change of name, though, because we've already got a new name on our north entrance, and all our signs will change over the next 6 to 8 weeks. Supply chain has gotten to us, too, with getting our new signage up. But so you will notice, certainly, signage change. We'll talk about things differently. We are doing some community forums, and so there'll be opportunities for folks to learn more about this and ask questions, too. But, you know, our patients in Hastings and surrounding communities like Cottage Grove and Prescott have been choosing United Hospital more than any other hospital in our area for their subspecialty care needs. So being able to combine with one license, which really has benefits for both patients and our employees, is really a positive thing for us here in Hastings and our community. This enhanced collaboration allows us to have one medical staff between the two campuses. That leads to enhanced collaboration, building new programs together with United, building up those areas we already share, like our cancer care, surgical care, the Heart Institute, and emergency care. So we're really excited to see what we can do and create that enhances sustainable care in Hastings. The other benefit for our patients is that whether you receive care at United Hospital downtown, or in St. Paul, or you receive care at Regina Campus, there'll be one bill. And so it won't be like before, if any of you have had the opportunity to have care at both campuses, where it's kind of hard to figure out who's billing what.
Mm-hmm.
So for today, it'll be one bill regardless of where you received care.
And that really is going to be a lot easier for people as they recover then to figure out what their bills actually are. Helen, you mentioned these community forums, and I think that's a wonderful opportunity for people to learn more. What else are you going to have at these, and when are they going to be?
We had our first one down in Hampton at St. Matthias Church. We were there, and we had about 15 of our community members from Hampton and around with us and did an in-person one. We're doing one that is virtual that is focused mostly on businesses and community groups like chambers and health departments and other groups in town. And I think there has been some information on social media. But the next ones we do will open up to Hastings residents, and we'll be talking to you, Mel, to get some of that information out and a way to join our call. We hope to do these over the next month or so. We talk about not only what does our name change mean, what does joining United mean, but also what's available here in Hastings at the hospital, because we hear over and over again, we didn't know you had that, or we don't know you do this. So we want to be able to really help our residents and patients to understand the change and what care is available here locally in Hastings.
And I think a community forum is certainly a wonderful way to get that information out and just educate people on what this name change means and what it doesn't mean. And so what were some of the key learnings that came out of your first community forum?
I think the idea, we actually have a lot of services that we share with United already, and a lot of providers that are, some of them are home office, shall we say, at United, but come down to either our specialty clinic or primary care clinic or at the hospital to provide outpatient care or help with our inpatients. That was an interesting learning, that people didn't know that we have the same emergency room doctors at Regina, actually, and at River Falls Hospital that we have at United. And actually, many of our Regina doctors, as some of you have met, practice at United as well. And that's a real bonus for us because United, of course, is a busier campus. They, of course, understand what's available at Regina and at United for our patients. So our biggest front door is our emergency room. And so it is important that people know that we provide, you know, the same extraordinary care that United does on a basis that's appropriate for our Regina Hospital. So part of the becoming under one license with United is if you do need to transfer up to United because the care you need is not available here when you come to us, we're able to facilitate that transfer much easier, just basically because of being one hospital and one electronic medical record now.
So not only that, but you're saying if we go into the emergency room in Hastings and then we find out we have to have additional care and we're transferred to United, is it slicker then to just get into a room up at United than it used to be?
It's a little slicker in that it's the sort of administrative stuff staff have to do to make the connections is easier. Right now, of course, everybody's in a crunch of capacity still as people are returning for care. And of course, COVID hasn't gone away. So you may still need to be transferred up to Abbott or to Mercy, but sometimes the care you need isn't available at United as quickly as we need or isn't available like quaternary services at Abbott. So most of the time we'll try to get you to United, but there are times when we still will need to go to our other metro hospitals too.
And aren't we lucky that we have so many wonderful hospitals?
Well, and you may prefer, especially say you had a car accident and came in to see us, the care might actually be at Regents Hospital, mm-hmm. where Trauma Center is, of course. So we're not limited ever to what hospital we move people to. If you had a transplant at the University of Minnesota, of course that's where you would want to go back, or cancer care. So we're experts in transferring you to wherever you need to go.
It's great to know. So these community forums will be ongoing, and we look forward to hearing from you again when there are some that we can participate in. Helen, you mentioned COVID, and I know that that has really been the topic of our conversations with Dr. Melody McKenzie for quite a few years. But what are you seeing as far as COVID numbers go? This new variant that's going around is really contagious or something.
That BA 4 and 5 are very, very contagious, and people are getting it more than once with a short period of time. Well, look what's happened to the president and his rebound after his treatment. So we're having trouble understanding everything about this variant that are here. But what we do know is that if you're vaccinated, it tends to be an illness that is maybe not as life-threatening as if you are not vaccinated, and also that the care you require is often less than if you're unvaccinated. But that's not always true, of course, right? Because people have comorbidities or other things wrong with them that may still be affected by these variants that are here today. However, we have actually seen, and it'll probably be in the news today, in the state, a little bump in hospitalizations this week. We've been averaging around 400 in the state of Minnesota, and we bumped up to nearly 490 today. So 100 more patients in the hospitals than we had even last week. So something's going on there, and we're going to keep a close eye on it. But it's really, if you need to be cautious about and are in a lot of indoor venues, of course, please be cautious, as this is highly transmissible, and the loved ones still are at risk around you, especially our seniors and those who have other illnesses. So please return again to being cautious and considering to use masks when you're indoors.
So again, does masking though work if we're the only one in the crowd with a mask on?
These days, I recommend hospital grade masks for you, and that if you have concern that you wear a respirator type mask like an N95 or a KN95, those protect you. Then they protect others from you if you're sick, but what they do is protect you. And so if you're the only one wearing an N95 mask or KN95 mask, you are protected from illness that's around you. Good idea, too, if you are considerably worried, to wear eye protection or your glasses. So we in the hospital are wearing this protection all of the time, and we have almost no patient-to-staff transmission. All of our transmission that happens in the hospital, in general, is being brought in by the community, by spread in the community, before people come to work.
Helen, what about the vaccination boosters? Is that something that we should hold off on if we're eligible, or should we get it as soon as we can? Where do you stand on that, please?
You know, I just had my fourth booster a couple weeks ago because I was planning a big trip in September. So I was watching that. What did Melody tell us last time? The best amount of protection is 8 to 12 weeks after you've had the booster. So I was timing my booster to this trip I'm taking in September. But I think most of us who are concerned and worried about getting COVID have had that fourth booster already. If you're 60 or I think it's 60, maybe it's 55 and over, or have another illness that would make you eligible. And so we're all excited. Those folks are all excited to have the new booster starting in September that will be Omicron specific. But we may see that fourth or fifth booster is open to everyone faster than it has been before, because I think we're realizing that this transmission is happening with these variants. And I think we heard from the federal government the other day that they're going to open it to just more than seniors coming in September.
And these booster shots, there is no cost to that as well, right?
Absolutely not. There's no cost to the treatment for Paxlovid or any of those monoclonal antibodies that you may be prescribed as well, or vaccination. The federal government is still covering those under the COVID plan.
So let's talk about Paxlovid, because that is the medication that President Biden was on. And I know a couple of other people that have been on that medication. Then they're testing, when can they go back to work? They get a negative test, and then all of a sudden they're testing positive. What does Paxlovid do? Does it lessen your symptoms? Does it take the disease away? What it actually is it? And why does it seem like people are rebounding?
You know, the rebounding, I think everybody, all the researchers are looking at, and it's not clear as to why that's happening to some and not others. I have personal friends who've taken Paxlovid, which is a monoclonal, it's two actual monoclonal antibodies together that really is effective, especially if you have specific needs and have additional problems that you want to make sure that you don't get sicker. So it does actually work very well. This idea of getting COVID again after it is being investigated now and researched, because it may not be that the COVID really ever went away, but the Paxlovid changed the test results and so you really were positive the whole time, or maybe you got better and got reinfected. Who knows? I don't know that. But what I do know is that my friends and family who have taken Paxlovid, very few of them have had a rebound, and most all of them have gotten better sooner.
So at this point of the game, I think there are just very few people that have actually not had COVID. Some people, I think, probably had it early on and didn't maybe know. But what still is our best way to keep the spread of any sort of disease or infections? Is it the masking and washing of hands? And
absolutely, yes. All the things we've said before of maintaining distances, especially if you're indoors, and making sure that there's space between you and the other people you're with. If there's someone, you know, that you're concerned about for you or your family that you consider with respirator masks. I'm seeing more and more lately folks in the grocery store wearing good masks, medical grade masks when they go in. So I think people are hearing and working what they believe is right for them. And COVID has lots of different ways it impacts. And some people are asymptomatic, as we know, and others are hospitalized and still needing ventilators. So this virus hasn't gone away. The vaccinations have helped a lot of folks not get as sick as they might have before vaccinations. And like we've been saying for two and a half years now, there's still a lot to learn about this virus, and it is not giving up. It is still replicating and changing all the time, and we're just going to have to continue to figure out how to live with it.
Is this something that you think is going to be just ongoing?
Well, it's certainly showing that way.
Yeah, no kidding.
The changing as quickly as we can come up with vaccines and medication to fight it. So, yeah, I don't know. So far, since March of 2020 has showed us, is that we've got to keep our eye on the ball and keep ourselves safe and ensure we have as much information as possible. Should say more about the Paxlovid, just that not everybody can take it either. So you may go and say, I want to have Paxlovid at one of our test and treat centers. And then you may be on certain types of medications, or you may have certain types of illnesses and aren't eligible for the Paxlovid. So just wanted to put that in there.
And then if we have had COVID before, is there still that natural immunity for a certain amount of time, or has that all changed too?
That seems to be changing. That to say we have about 4 to 6 months of immunity with the variants previously. I think we're seeing that difference. I have colleagues who have had a reinfection 6 to 8 weeks later. So it's changing, and we're not sure how it might go next.
Oh, boy. Well, Helen, we really appreciate your time today, and we wish you success in this transition, this integration that is going on with United Hospital Hastings Regional Campus. We look forward to seeing the new signs, and we also look forward to just continuing the great tradition of a well-respected hospital in Hastings.
Yeah, I think we're excited about the possibilities. Our physicians and our team members are excited about seeing Hastings thrive, and along with United, what we hope will come up with some of our strategies for planning. And I just know that Alina is committed to sustainable health care in Hastings and our region, so we all feel very positive about the change.
Well, we really feel positive about any time you call in. Thank you, Helen. Helen Strike, she's the president of United Hospital Hastings Regina Campus and also the River Falls Area Hospital, and we're so appreciative of her time. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.